Hello, listeners. The Nutty Interpreters are finally back. What's been happening, I wonder? Hang tight and let's roll.
Yo! So, yeah. How was your week?
Oh boy, there's so much to share this week. Let's talk about it. I'm Caroline.
I am Jen. And together we are the interpreters behind the mic. If this is the first time you're tuning in, welcome. Our podcast is all about sharing what we go through as interpreters. The real stuff, man. Through our stories, we want to highlight the challenges we face and create a space where interpreters can feel seen and connected. So, let's talk about it. First of all, congrats on making the switch to video remote interpreting, or VRI. What did you imagine it would be like before your first day?
Thank you. It's been day three today. But who's counting, right?
Yeah.
I'm still riding on the excitement, to be honest. So when the TL informed me about the conversion, I'll be honest, I was reluctant. I knew this day will come because, you know, the contract says so. But I was hoping and praying that it would not be anywhere near soon. But when I received the inevitable notice that the conversion process has begun, I was nervous. I was anxious. A lot of overthinking. Oh, man. At the same time, I'm excited because I have a curious mind. I want to see things. I want to know how things work. And majority of VRI calls are medical related topics.
Yep.
So that motivates me, actually.
Oh, that's good. Was there anything that totally surprised you?
Good question. You see, I'm an introvert in heart. I do socialize, but I'm selective. I'm not sure it's because of my age or my nature. I enjoy being in my own bubble, doing my own things. Occasionally socializing with family and business friends. And that is within my comfort zone. Being OPI, it works perfect for me. I can lend my voice to the LEP and comfortably being invisible with just a voice. But being VRI, there's so much more. You see, the thought of interacting with more than one person, that makes me anxious.
Right.
I will need to, because of the guidelines, I will need to keep a neutral and professional facial expression. Like no frowning of my brows, pursing on my lips. You know, like when you're frustrated, I used to do this tap on my forehead. I can't do that anymore. Because all these little gestures, these facial expressions, may lead to miscommunication. People might read you wrongly. That worries me because I do that a lot, you know, hiding behind the phone line.
Yeah, because you would think, people would think that you're not professional, you're not ready or properly trained. Yeah,
yes.
So say goodbye to your eye rolling.
Yeah. Yes, that too.
Yeah, but I'd like to know, like, how was your first day being a VRI?
Oh, so much of mixed emotions. Anxious, nervous, excited. At the same time, on top of that, I was so curious, anticipating what to see. I was not as anxious I was on my first day being an OPI. Now that I have months of experience, very familiar with medical calls, questions, flows, terminologies. To a certain extent, I know what is coming. Because the question, you know, if it's a bedside call, the process is always the same. They will ask, do you have any pain? I felt nervous and excited. Nervous because how the system works. What is the color, the LEP's reaction seeing my face? Because I'm also quite conscious about that. How people look at me. Am I doing something funny on my face? But excited to explore the new world and start seeing things. I mean, seeing how this medical field things work. So, yeah, very excited about that.
Yeah, but at the same time, has the visual element changed how you connect with the LAP or provider? Do you think one feels more emotionally intense than the other?
Well, the overwhelming visual sensory same time is eye-opening. When I was in the OPI, I had to imagine and create mental image. How is the setup? How the LEP may look like? It's all imagination. But in VRI, there's no imagination required. Everything is real, right in front of me through the little window on my computer screen. There's unspoken connection, like when we pick up the call, we have to say, you know, thank you for calling, da-da-da-da-da. I think I've started to have this nod on my head. You know, it's like a non-verbal cue. It's like acknowledgement saying, hi. You know, and sometimes towards the end of the call, and I was still not, I say, you know what, I got you. The experience in OPI and VRI is totally different. As OPI, I use my ears to hear, to listen, and pick up only verbal cues. A sigh, or the way they talk, the tone of their voice. But in VRI, you get to see their facial expression. You understand why the way they talk with the facial expression, which makes sense. And like, for example, like there was one, I think I heard this nurse before when I was being an OPI. And then just, I think it was the second day or the first day, I remember her name because she has this very distinct voice. So when I thought, oh, that's the voice, that's her name. I think this is the person that I spoken to some, like not long ago. When I look at her face, I understand why the way she talk. Because I used to think she can be a little bit rude, but when I look at her face, it's totally different. The environment as well. Oh, it's because it's so headache, and then she's just speaking very loudly. So I thought that was rude. But when I can see her in VRI, it's totally different. I totally understand why. And that breaks down the barrier of my own imagination and seeing her face to face.
Right. But then in terms of being emotionally intense, like for example, if you had a devastating call that the LEP is in maybe end stages of life, yeah, stage 4 cancer, incurable, and when you get the call over OPI, and say now on VRI, I'm not sure whether you experienced that or not, but what do you think is going to be more intense? Because one, you can only hear, yeah, you can only listen, and the other, you can actually see. You can experience the environment. You can adapt to how the LEP person is reacting, how the doctor is reacting, the way that they are, you know, their body language. I mean, which one do you think is more emotionally intense?
Definitely VRI. Like when you're taking a call, just OPI calls, you're only hearing. You feel like you are just a device, a voice in a device. But when you are in VRI, you're in that moment with the client and the LEP, is different. You are present. You are there. A lot more emotion that goes into it. On OPI, like I said, you're just a device, a voice. You're just lending your voice to the client or lending the voice to your to the LEP. But when you're in VRI, you see what they go through. So much more intense. So much more.
Because I was I went through the same stages as well, from OPI to VRI. And I also have stories from different interpreters who share the same experience. we always thought that clients or LAP patients or clients of theirs would be more direct or cold toward us. They are, you know, rude. But when we are on VRI, the whole world changed. Like, as you say, you know, the same voice you suspect is the same client. She could be the same client. We don't know. Yeah, because sometimes... Not for sure, but they all might sound alike because they all have the same training. They are nurses. So they might sound alike because the way they talk, the way they communicate is more or less the same. But I also feel sometimes the attitude is a little different, probably because they see a person in front of them now, even though it's just a screen. So they know it's a person that can see, and we can see them, they can see us. So there is a connection. But OPI, they lack of a connection there, a personal connection. We don't know what you look like. We don't know what you're doing. So it's just a voice. Yes, you're helping me do the job. But at the, you know, the same time, the LDP person, maybe they feel that we are unable to capture their emotion, that we are unable to fully express how they feel compared to, say, VRI. Because we can see, we can feel how they feel. If they feel pain, then we have more empathy. Yeah, we sympathize with them because we can see them in bed, or we're seeing them very frail, seeing a doctor in the clinic or emergency. So I think because of the visual cues, it does make a big difference.
Totally. You see, in OPI, I think they must be wondering, are they taking out notes? Are they doing, or are they just saying words? But when it comes to VRI, they definitely know that you are taking notes because you have to look down. You don't look at the camera, right? Yeah. So there is a trust that's easily built there. So they know that you're doing the job. But in OPI, they might be thinking, is this interpreter taking down notes? You know, that kind of thing at the back of their head. So I think the connection is instant.
Maybe. Some human connection there. Instead of just, like you say, you know, a device with a voice.
Correct.
A human communication. Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right. So, following question. What is one skill from OPI surprisingly helped you in VRI?
Okay, for this, I think a lot of OPI interpreters will agree. I'm not sure, but they don't want to go back taking back-to-back calls.
Right.
For 8 hours. Well, not exactly for 8 hours. But the back-to-back calls for me, now that I'm in a VRI, it forced me to practice a lot of way to speak, to communicate, terminology. That is that skill. So when I switch over to VRI, majorities are medical calls. You know what to expect. You know how the flow works. That skill, and I would say this, everyone that before converting to VRI, OPI is definitely the path to go. You definitely have to go through that phase in order to go into VRI.
Well, I agree, because it's very intense. Back-to-back calls, different industries. Every single call may not be from the same industry. So from one call, it might be medical, And then the next call, it might be for insurance, a following one, benefit, so on and so forth. It can be 911. It can be anything. Banks, again. And then you're going back to medical. And then another one could be a bank again. So it's just forcing all these terminologies for us to reuse and use and use until we get so used to it that it comes naturally. I think if it's the other way around, like if we have done VRI first, we may not be able to perform as an OPI because the industries, the back-to-back calls, gives you no time to think. So during the OPI period, you are forced to think how to use certain words. So VRI is so much easier because you get less. Majority are, as you say, medical. So we are more in tune to medical already. So we more or less just everything is out. Everything medical is now in. And we are already trained during the OPI adventures that we had. And as a trainer, a lot of the OPIs or the interpreters tell me that, if it's possible, I don't want to convert. I don't want to be seen. I'm camera shy. Unfortunately, you cannot. That's part of the whole process from OPI. Get you seated, get you well-trained, give you a few months so that you can get a hang of it. Then you are more familiar with all the terminologies. It's a skill that you're building. Because don't forget, I keep repeating to everyone that I train, that being an interpreter is not just about knowing two languages and you know them well, you can speak them fluently, but we are actually not speaking as how we want to express it, but we are lending our voice to different people who speaks differently. You know, they have different styles of speaking. Some people can describe things better. Some people are just really bad at describing. They are unable to form a sentence to say what they want to say. They go back and forth. Some people say things halfway and then they will say just like that, just like this. Especially for Cantonese, for example. They always say, so you don't know what, how it is. For example, I'll give you a very good example. The client asking, do you still feel the pain in your abdomen? And they won't know how to describe. Some of them are really bad. So they don't give you definite response. They give you something that is draggy. It's not something I don't feel the pain right now. I feel much better. And they cannot describe. It's really difficult. So if they have a hard time to describe, and for sure the interpreter is going to have a hard time to describe it as well. And sometimes the client will misunderstand and think that the interpreter is just not doing their job. In some ways, the interpreter have to be proactive and step out of it and then clarify with the patient or with the client what they are trying to express themselves, just to confirm. Yeah, we cannot say that I don't understand you. We can't just say that, I don't understand what you're saying. You know, can you be more specific? We can't do that, right?
We can't do that, yeah.
Yeah, so lots of incidents like this. So being an interpreter is not just having two languages that you are really good in and then you be an interpreter. It's a skill. So an OPI gives you that skill. Yeah, yes. Non-stop. Back to back, back to back, back to back. Different industries coming, throwing things at you and different things that you have never heard of. Industries that you're not familiar with. Some of the terms that you've never heard of that they're using. And some people, for example, clients, even their English level are different. Some speak really good. Some, just conversational. Mm-hmm. And they try to describe certain things. And same for the LEP person. They would do the same thing. right? So they don't know how to express, and they will use different accents, different words to try to describe what they don't know. So these are the problems that interpreters would face on a daily basis. So definitely it's a very good process from OPI, then you migrate or convert over to a VRI. It makes our job so much easier. And not forget, because sometimes when, as a VRI, when the client wants to give privacy to the patient, they will just turn off the camera. And of course, we are also to make the client, the LEP person feel more, because of sometimes they get undressed, sometimes they
a bit more get privacy.
So they have privacy. And we switch off our cameras too. And we go back to OPI. But this time we are more in tune. We can feel, even though we don't see it, but we had a glimpse earlier, we know the settings, we know the environment. So you are right. It's a process that everyone should go through. Yeah, as what the Chinese would say, first bitter, then everything will be sweet. So it's a really effective training for you to go through.
Yeah. To start off with,
But I want to ask you this question though. Would you ever want to go back being OPI?
Oh, never. I remember why I would say so is because every profession comes with some kind of, disadvantage. So remembering my first 2 months, because of the back-to-back continuous talking, I had sore throat. Because I tell you why, in OPI, you tend to speak a lot more, you talk a lot more, because you need clarification. You need to clarify what you cannot see. But in VRI, with a tap on your headphone, client can instantly understand, oh, you cannot hear. But in OPI, I would say, this is interpreter speaking, the audio is not very clear, can you please repeat that? I don't find myself saying that anymore. I just have to tap my headphone and they get it. No way, I'm going back to OPI.
I understand. Because sometimes when clients will ask the patients, do you have any visual problems? Are you having any hearing problems? So we can actually, other than just speaking, we can also, body language, we can show our visual, how we do with our hands. And then we can point to our ears. Then we say, do you have any visual problems? So at least, even if the patient is unable to hear clearly, but when we do whatever we are pointing to, eyes or ears or mouth, they know already, my eyesight is okay, or my eyesight is not doing that well. So they can at least see what we're doing. So it does help. A lot of these visual cues help a lot.
And also, because VRI, we have this feature that we can type words into the screen for the LEPs to read, if they can read, right? I don't have to shout over the phone, "Late him, Tango, call ya!" I don't have to raise my voice. So they would just type. That is like, it breaks down a lot of communication, miscommunication, I would say.
What if the patient is not only hard of hearing, but also visually challenging for that? If they have a blind version,
God help me on that.
They can't see, they can't hear. I receive many calls like that. If they have family members there, then it makes the job more easier, because we can ask them to yell at their ear instead of yelling.
Yeah.
Because yelling or speaking louder next to them, a human voice instead of through the speaker, is much better, because the pitch will be much higher if it's through a speaker. But if it's through the voice itself, then it actually is more soothing and they can actually hear. So sometimes if they're unable to help or there's no family members there, then it will be challenging. You know, they can't hear, so we have to yell. They can't read because, you know, vision-wise, they are having some blurry vision, or their eyesight is not very good, and they did not have their glasses with them. There's so many things. So, yeah, just be prepared. Things like this will happen. For sure. Yeah. Okay. So, there's one thing I wanted to talk about our next episode. I'm not sure whether you've seen this drama, this show called The Pit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, surprisingly, it is very accurate. The show that I watch, it is really accurate from the settings, from the questions, what the doctors or the nurses will ask patients and how patients would usually react.
Yep.
It is scary. It is very accurate, as if you are watching a live show. And I was reading about it, and they say it's actually highly acclaimed to be one of the most accurate medical drama.
Yeah, I think we should talk about that one, because prior, I was just leisurely looking for a medical drama to watch before my conversion. So just randomly picking the show up and whilst watching it, I told you this before. This is such a good drama for any OBI converting to BRI. They should go and watch it. So they have like a visual preparation of how things is going to be. You know, so you won't be so surprised what's going to happen, things like that. Yeah, but I think we should just leave it to the next one. Then we'll talk about it more in depth.
No spoilers. No spoilers. Yeah, so, well, I'm glad you are enjoying your VRI journey. It is really eye-opening. And there's going to be lots of things that you're going to experience. I mean, there's, just like OBI, you have happy calls, you have sad calls, you know, you have devastating calls, just like any other calls that we get.
Yeah.
But the only difference is, one, you cannot see, and now something that you can personally experience. And sometimes, because we have the human connection, the family members, when they are unable to express themselves in English, they are directly speaking to us, begging us to plead with the doctors to give them or their loved ones more time, try your best to save them or prolong their life, because we are not ready to let go, or there are other families that are on the way, and hopefully you can help their loved ones stay alive until the rest of the family members come and see their final goodbyes. So it will be challenging. It will be difficult.
Yeah. It will be, yes.
Yeah. So hopefully, with whatever the cause and experience you have gained from OPI, is to have self-control, be more professional, and try your best not to get overly affected by it. I'm not saying that you don't show empathy. Empathy is one of the important ingredients of being an interpreter. But it's just something that we have to remain calm and professional, because yes, we feel, you know, we have emotions too, you know, we are humans. But they depend on us to not have the communication breakdown. Yeah. So don't, you know, try our best not to get affected too much and remain calm and professional, so that we can do our job and they can get the information they need. But don't forget, time is, they have everything except time. And, and every time when the client is trying to explain something to the LAP or their family, and it has to go through us first, so they don't get the information spontaneously. So seconds count, right? Seconds count. And if we get affected emotionally, and that communication breaks down, that bridge, that, you know, breaks down, then they have to waste time to call someone again.
Yes.
And then a different interpreter has to introduce themselves again. They need to get, you know, they have to understand what's going on. Then they can start, you know, to interpret. So that is why it's so important for us to remain calm, yeah, and composed, professional. But at the same time, our voice is the one that is going to express our empathy, including now, of course, as VRI, our expression.
Most definitely.
Yeah, so I'm just wishing you good luck. And I'm sure you're going to enjoy this journey much, much better than being an OPI, I'm sure. Because everyone that I train who are now VRIs, none of them, I can tell you, none, say, yeah, I miss OPI, I want to go back.
No,
I want to go back. No, no one, including myself.
No.
No one wants to go back because of the intense calls that you have back to back, non-stop. It's very challenging. It's very tiring. Yeah.
Again, I'm grateful for that journey. Yeah. No, not going back.
I'm not going back. No, exactly. So, now before we go, if all of you enjoyed our podcast, please give us a like or consider subscribing to our channel. Now, we'd definitely love to share our website and blog with you. It is int-offload.com. Now, it's a space where we can share our thoughts, experiences, and interests. And if you have something to share, feel free to connect with us there. Yeah.
This is Caroline.
And I am Jen. Signing off. Until next time, happy interpreting.
Lang.